Representative Valdez, welcome to the Business Affairs and Labor Committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. So tell us about Senate Bill 145.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here in the Business Committee. I am presenting Senate Bill 145, which is a continuation of the regulation of dialysis technicians. And so just to give a little background on what they do and what this bill does, dialysis is the medical procedure that mechanically performs the function of a kidney. So it cleans the blood and is used by people who are suffering from end-stage renal disease. A patient will either perform the service at home or in a dialysis center if they are healthy enough as they wait for a transplant. The dialysis process is miraculous and complex, and trained technicians are supervised by physicians as they do it. And this will just continue the ability to have them licensed as dialysis technicians. So as we continue as a society to look into the reasons and the causes of the end-stage renal disease, it's imperative that we continue to allow people to seek the care that they need through dialysis. And if there are any questions, I'd be happy to have them, but I would ask for an aye vote so we can continue this this great process of allowing technicians to be licensed through the state.
Thank you. Committee members, do we have questions for our sponsor? Very nice. We have three people have signed up to testify, two in favor, one for questions only. If I could invite Deborah Hayes and Chris Schwab to join us. Ms. Hayes, would you like to start? Oh. The chair is a little difficult. So let's go ahead and turn on your microphone right at the base. There's a light. We are timing testimony. There's a little box in front of you that has a red light, yellow light, and green light. When the green light is on, we ask you to share your expertise. When the yellow light is on, we ask you to slow yourself down. When the red light is on, we ask you to stop. If you need me to help you, I am more than happy to do that. Ms. Hayes, if you could state your name and who you represent.
Deborah Hayes, I'm representing current and future dialysis patients. I began hemodialysis in 1985. At that time, almost all of my dialysis technicians were RNs. During my 11 and a half years hooked up to a dialysis machine, I realized how dialysis had changed from professional, knowledgeable staff with medical backgrounds to facility technicians who often had no medical background at all. When I was on dialysis, almost every patient I ever knew had diabetes. The number of people with diabetes is on the rise. One of the more serious complications of diabetes is kidney failure. Since diabetics are one of the largest populations on dialysis, the demand for technicians is likely to increase. New jobs are important, but keeping patients safe is more important. What type of training would you want your technician to have if you were diagnosed with failing kidneys and dialysis treatments were the only way you could survive? Dialysis clinics are filled with people who are elderly, quiet, and often plagued with multiple serious medical conditions. A fragile population left at the mercy of whoever will be giving them their next treatment. Rewind to when I was a dialysis patient before the 2007 law was passed. Out of curiosity, I asked a technician how long they trained before they actually got to touch patients. Her answer, 2 weeks. Would you trust a mechanic to fix the brakes on your car who just picked up a wrench for the first time 2 weeks ago? Or someone training to be an electrician to rewire your house after only 2 weeks of training? Dialysis treatments are not optional. Without them, people with kidney failure die. Without this law in place, dialysis patients in our state could literally put their lives in the hands of technicians without certification requirements currently mandated. This is exactly what was going on before the law went into effect. Dialysis centers were allowed to decide how much training was appropriate or good enough for the technicians. The state of Colorado requires people who cut hair or apply artificial fingernails professionally to be licensed. However, dialysis techs do not need to be licensed, only certified. Without this law, only federal requirements, minus the yearly state requirements, will be in place to protect patients. I don't want to see what happened in California in 2012 happen here. Since 2009, states are required to have some type of certification for dialysis techs, national or state tests. In California, around 2011, only 56% of the people who took the national test could pass it. Instead of more training, The state came up with their own version of the test. The same people who couldn't pass a national test but could pass a watered-down state test could still legally dialyze patients anyway. Federal regulations are not enough. During a dialysis treatment, approximately one-fifth of a person's blood volume is circulated outside the body at any given time. This is an invasive procedure with many risks, even performed under ideal circumstances. If the person who cuts hair is required to be licensed, doesn't it seem reasonable that people who perform dialysis treatments should at least be required to meet Curtin, Colorado standards of training? As legislators, you have the power to continue to help keep patients safe. I ask you to continue to advocate for qualified technicians and to keep the current law in place. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ms. Hayes. Mr. Schwab, well, if you could state your name and who you represent.
Thank you. My name is Chris Schwab. I'm the father of a daughter who was on dialysis back in 2000. She's got a transplant now, been a lot better. And I've done some volunteer work for dialysis ethics and dialysis ethics too. I decided to bring some history on this field of medicine at this time that you may have received. It should be a graph in front of you. It might give you a quick idea why many of us have been upset all these years. And since this is a business and labor committee, it also gives you a glimpse into what happens to a mostly for-profit field of medicine when an important ingredient is taken away, and that ingredient is choice. Patients cannot choose to not have dialysis. They would die. Patients can't choose their clinics and will wind up at whatever clinic their nephrologist works with and for. In smaller towns and rural areas, patients' only choice may be one doctor and one clinic. Even in larger cities, if a patient tries to leave, they can be blackballed and terminated as a patient. The termination of a patient can be a death sentence. So patients have put up with assembly line medicine with high patient staff ratios and inadequately trained staff, all good for the bottom line. Now that I've had my rant, I've brought some good news for a change. According to the United States Renal Data System, we have the lowest mortality rate we've had ever had. It's at about 16% now. It is the sort of level we haven't seen since 1979. In other words, dialysis in 2019 is at levels it should have been in 1980. And we are still a long ways off from levels seen in such countries as Italy and Japan, where it's closer to 10%. And don't think about all the years we've spent closer to a 25% mortality rate. Okay, try not to be a pill, but anyway, we seem to be on a downward trend in mortality. There is a positive finish. I did it again. Getting to the need for a strong state bill, we may be picking, we picked on California a bit today. Around 2012, we in Colorado had a strong state bill while California didn't. I'll just say problems occurred in California, and Deborah Hayes discussed that. However, I will talk about a notable difference I saw in infections between Colorado and California. Infections are something that staff is in control of to a large extent, and sepsis, a particularly dangerous infection of the blood, took a noticeable dip here in Colorado, while California's rates continued to climb back in 2009. This was a time our state bill was starting to take effect. And regarding our state bill, I can add our state checks for tech certification every year, along with the license of the dialysis clinic. So that's been a big difference, I think. And California was lucky to check tech certification every 3 years. Looks like to me leaves a huge hole where clinics can hire unqualified people in California who aren't going to be sticking around at a low-paying job for 3 years anyway. So I think that's a big plus we have here.
And Mr. Schwab, if you could wind up.
Oh, okay. All right. This is the crux of what I had to say about the state bill and the need to keep what we have in place. I'm looking, that's about it. Okay, I had some thank yous, but I'll skip those. So,
thank you to everybody, huh?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, everybody that's been involved in this. So.
Perfect. Thank you. Representative Duran.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just have a few questions. Can you tell me what the responsibilities are of a dialysis technician?
Yeah, they do the setup of the machine, for one thing. They do the needle sticks, and they're the eyes and ears of the nurse. If a patient's having problems, they've got to know what to look for and alert that nurse to what's going on, you know. So they need a bit more training. Back in 2007, well, before 2007, they were basically hiring anybody off the street with no medical background. And these people wouldn't catch on to things like a heart attack. I remember one patient testifying at the U.S. Senate about that. You know, he had a heart attack, and the technician had no clue. So,
thank you. Follow up, Representative Duran.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So how long is the training? And in that training, are they required to learn CPR?
So we also have someone from DORA that's coming that might be able to answer your questions also.
Great, thank you.
Yeah, they're getting hired, but, well, they have to have certification after 18 months. And, yeah, I'd like to, that brings up something. I'd like to see them come in with a bit more education, maybe at least a certificate for a phlebotomist certificate, but, you know, that's not happening right now. So I know back in 2007, DORA kind of hit on that a bit, that, you know, that was the number one complaint of patients was the needle sticks, you know, and this I feel like it addresses a lot of areas, but it never did address needle sticks. So.
Okay, thank you. This is at least a good start.
Yeah, this is a start.
Committee members, do we have other questions for our panel? I just want to say thank you very much. We do appreciate you joining us. Ellen Graham is here from DORA for questions only. Do you want to ask your questions? Okay, thank you very much for joining us.
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Graham, if you'd like to join us.
Thanks for sponsoring us.
Absolutely.
Thank you so
thank
much.
You very much. Thanks for coming out today.
Thank you. And Ms. Graham is going to join us now. Great. And Representative Duran, do you want to ask your questions?
Thank you, Madam Chair.
First of all, Ms. Graham, could you state your name and who you represent?
You betcha. Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Ellen Graham. I'm a policy analyst with the Colorado Office of Policy Research and Regulatory Reform within DORA. So I'm happy to answer your questions.
And Representative Duran has some questions for you.
Thank you. So can you tell me a little bit more about the training, and is CPR required in that training?
Ms. Graham.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Duran, on the CPR note, I'm actually not 100% sure. I don't have it reflected in the report here, so I can't say for sure whether that is included, but it is a 90-day program that includes pretty comprehensive, you know, universal precautions, monitoring of vital signs, kind of the healthcare basics. So I would imagine that CPR is involved, but I would be happy to follow up and get the answer to that question.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Other questions for Ms. Graham? Representative Snyder.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Hi. I noticed in the DORA report that you recommend the General Assembly should continue the regulation indefinitely. And that's one I hadn't seen before. So I'm just curious, with the 7 years is what this bill currently has, if that's still DORA's position.
Ms. Graham.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Snyder. Yeah, the reasoning for recommending the indefinite extension was that it's now kind of memorialized in federal law as well, and it seems to meet our sunset criterion that it's the least restrictive, consistent with the public interest. There haven't really been any problems reported with the current regime. So that's kind of where the DORA recommendation came for the indefinite extension. But the 2026 sunset date was added by your colleagues in the Senate.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Ms. Graham? Seeing none, Ms. Graham, thank you very much. We appreciate you coming by. That's everybody who has signed up to testify on this bill. Is there anyone who has not signed up that wishes to testify today? Seeing none, the witness testimony phase is closed. Amendments, Representative.
No amendments, Madam Chair.
Committee members, any amendments? Seeing none, the amendment phase is closed. Closing statements, Representative Valdez.
Yeah, thank you again for hearing the bill. This is a great opportunity for us to continue something that's been working very well, as Mr. Schwab testified. We've seen mortality rates really drop in this state as we've held a higher standard for our dialysis technicians, and I would hope that a yes vote today will continue that trend and help those who are suffering from end-stage renal failure. So I ask for a yes vote, and thank you very much.
Thank you. Representative Coleman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move Senate Bill 19-145 to finance with a favorable recommendation.
Good motion by Representative Coleman, second by Representative McKean. Ms. Ullman, let's go ahead and call the roll.
Representatives Arndt.
Yes.
Byrd.
Yes.
Buck.
Yes.
Duran.
Yes.
McKean.
Yes.
Sain.
Yes.
Snyder.
Yes.
Sullivan.
Yes.
Williams is excused. Coleman.
Yes, ma'am.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
10-0-1 excused.
Congratulations. That's 10-0-1 excused. You're on your way to finance.
Thank you very much.